This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Professional dancers have to be concerned about their physique, but at what price? Jennifer Ringer has been practicing the ballet since the tender age of 5. Her skill and discipline earned her the coveted role of principal dancer for the New York City Ballet. But her journey in the ballet was far from smooth. For years, dance shaped her body image and her self-worth, and she was forced to deal publicly with eating disorders and struggles with her weight. Today, Jennifer has retired from the ballet, and she wants to tell her story. She's the author of Dancing Through It, My Journey in the Ballet. She's going to be reading later this week at Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh, but first she joins us today on The State of Things. Jennifer Ringer, welcome.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Let's talk about this. In 2010, you were pushed into the public eye because of a review in the New York Times. A dance critic wrote about your performance in The Nutcracker. Tell us about that.
Yes. I had done the role of the Sugar Plum Fairy in the opening night of The Nutcracker, and the reviewer said something like, it looked like I had had one sugar plum too many. And that review actually ended up causing a big public outcry, because a lot of people were very upset about that. And it started a huge discussion on, just weight in the ballet world and what was appropriate to talk about in terms of weight in the ballet world from the critic's point of view. So it really did start up a big hoopla.
Well, tell us again what kind of support you got from the dance community.
You know, what was incredible about that was that a lot of people knew that I had struggled with eating disorders and that I had had weight problems in the past, but I had been dancing. I had returned to the ballet world and had been healthy and fine for a good 10 years. But a lot of people knew about my past, and so when this review came out, it was amazing to see the people that rose to my defense and very much took exception with the review. So I had kind of a lot of knights in shining armor come forward and defend me and tell everybody that I was really fine and that there was no need to discuss that.
It's interesting, though, because weight and body image are factors, and they were part of the discussion in your career. The dance company had to have that discussion with you. Is that right?
Well, you know, the thing about being a dancer is that our body is our instrument. And so, our body is on display, and it is part, it's what we use to dance, and so there is an aspect of that. But the wonderful thing also about dance is that it really is about a body moving through space, and the emphasis is on the movement. And, every body type can dance, and there's every body type in my company. You know, we have the sylph-like, frail body type. We have an athletic body type. We have a more shapely, womanly body type. We have tall. We have petite. We really have everything. And what the amazing thing is that everybody in that company can dance. And the hope is that the emphasis would be more on the dancing.
In classical ballet, though, is there a difference, I wonder, because there may be greater familiarity with the pieces that in the minds of the audience, that they've seen this before, or they have an impression of what everybody should look like. I mean, is there less room for multiple body shapes in classical ballet, where perhaps the audience is more familiar and has a preconceived notion of what they expect to see on that stage?
Well, and this is one of the things that I struggled with because I have a perfectionist personality. And so I felt like there was only one way to look in order to be a ballerina. And the truth is that ballerinas do need to be fit and honed and, able to do the physical demands of the work that we do. And also we are generally working, 8 to 10 hours a day of hard physical work. So we often are very thin just because of the work. But when I saw my own body becoming more womanly as I grew older, I was very critical of myself and couldn't even accept the fact that I wasn't meeting up to the ideal of what I thought a ballerina should look like. Had I been able to look around and see the dancers around me and see how many different body types and body styles that there were that were completely and perfectly acceptable within the ballet world, I wouldn't have been so hard on myself. But, you know, I had this idea that a ballerina had to look a certain way, and that's when I struggled, is when I didn't feel like I was meeting up to it.
Take us back to your earliest days. You grew up some in New Bern, North Carolina, also Somerville, South Carolina, and that's where you first took lessons. Tell us about your first days in dance as a young girl.
Yes. My first ballet classes, well, you know, to tell you the truth, I took my first ballet classes when I was five, and I was one of those girls that danced all around the house. My musicians of choice was ABBA, and I would turn on ABBA in my bedroom and dance around in my room. So when I had my first ballet class when I was five, I actually thought it was the most boring thing I had ever taken in my life, because there I was suddenly holding onto this bar and just bending and straightening my legs, and I thought, this is nothing like me dancing to ABBA in my room. So I actually quit, but I started again. I came back to it when I was 10, and my best friend in South Carolina just, I happened to see her class. And so when I started taking classes at that point, it was a wonderful teacher named Terry Shields in Somerville, and I was really attracted to the challenge of it, and to how particular it was and how difficult it was, but also to the fact that it was possible to master these steps and have this structure for this dancing that I craved to do. So I instantly kind of loved the challenge of it and really kind of wanted to conquer it.
What was it that you think changed? I mean, you talked about loving a challenge, but what was it that made you see this now as a challenge, what before had been an utter bore?
Well, I think I was older, and, you know, a lot of times the classes for the younger kids are so much about just trying to get them into learning the specific language of ballet. And at that age, I didn't find that interesting enough. I just wanted to dance around wildly. So when I was older, you know, the class was actually a more advanced class. So I actually, even though I was standing at the bar and having to do those simpler, more stationary exercises, I still got the opportunity at the end of class to jump around wildly.
Yep. Then did you at this very moment also then find ABBA boring? Did that change for you?
I will never find out.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on then. Hey, you became part of a professional ballet troupe when you were 16. What was that like?
That was, I have two answers to that, because becoming a professional at 16 was a dream come true. It was, you know, from the time, you know, when I was 14, I decided something clicked in me that I wanted to be a dancer. And so I really had realized my dream at the age of 16. That being said, it's a difficult world. It's an adult world, and it's a high pressure world, and it took some adjustment, because suddenly, at the age of 16, I was dancing from 10:30 in the morning until 10:30 at night with just some brief breaks. It was grueling physical work, but it was also stressful, because there was the need to, you know, after dancing for 6 or 8 hours during the day, then we had to go out there and do the real work, which was the performance. And in the performance, the expectation is that it will be or should be as close to perfect as possible. Even as I was living my dream, and it was amazing, it was stressful and it was difficult.
What about the more experienced dancers? How did they treat you, and did they sort of take pity on you, or were you just one of the troupe? Come on, kid, it's showtime.
You know, I think that in general, the older dancers tried to help the younger ones, because they had all been through it before. So it was I was either just kind of left to my own devices, or, you know, there were a few dancers that took me under their wing and showed me how to put on my stage makeup and, you know, made sure that I wasn't a complete mess when I went out on stage.
At what point had ballet kind of shaped your body image, and when did you start worrying about becoming a woman and changing your shape?
I think it was a slow thing. It was almost like by osmosis. You know, I started feeling that there was a particular way I needed to look to be a ballerina, and then I, you know, as I, you know, growed and matured and started becoming a woman, I felt like, you know, as I got thighs, I didn't know if that was okay. Starting to get a shape. I was a teenager, and teenagers go through so many insecurities anyway. So a lot of those issues were kind of exacerbated by the ballet world and by being in that environment.
Were there other dancers struggling with their weight?
Yes. It is something that definitely is something that dancers will worry about. But, you know, it's not really spoken of a lot, or at least it wasn't to me when I was young. It was kind of one of those things. Again, you know, I think people, especially particularly teenagers, can be insecure about so many things. And a lot of times teenagers don't talk about it. Looking back now, I feel like that there were a good many people that were probably having similar issues that I was having, but we didn't really talk about it.
Tell us about becoming the principal dancer in the New York City Ballet. When did that happen, and what was that like?
Well, I became a principal dancer in 2000. So I had been in the company for 10 years, and I had also been through a period of time where I was actually let go from the company. I thought I had quit dancing, and then I had returned to the company. So I had been through a lot before I was finally made a principal. It was similar to when I actually got into the company at the age of 16. Becoming a principal was a dream come true for me. Reaching the highest rank was something that for many times I never thought I would be able to achieve. But this time around, the difference was that I didn't expect becoming a principal to be the thing that made me happy and that defined who I was. I remember being made a principal and saying, you know, this is amazing, this is a miracle that I have achieved this, but it doesn't define who I am. It's not going to make me happy. I have other things in my life that are going to be more important than this. So I tried to be keep my head on my shoulders when it happened.
It's interesting that you became the principal after, as you say, you were let go, and it was because of your weight, right?
Yes, I did. I struggled with my eating disorders and with weight problems for a couple of years while I was in the company. The company gave me as many chances as they could, but it got to the point where I just I couldn't be used because I was too heavy. And so they did finally let me go. When they let me go, they kept the door open and said, you know, if I could ever come back, that I was welcome. But in my mind, I quit. I really did quit. I never wanted to dance again because I had just lost my love of it and lost my joy of it. Lots of things happened in the year during which I was away, and I was able to come back.
What do you think it was that led you to rediscover your love for dance and get back in and then as the principal?
You know, I think I needed to be away from it, to tell you the truth. I think being let go was the best thing that could have happened to me because I was able to quit, I was able to leave, and I was able to kind of address my eating disorders just as a person. All my identity and all my self-worth had become wrapped up in being a dancer. It was everything I was, and when I failed at it, I felt like I had failed at life. So when, you know, being a dancer was removed from me, I was forced to confront all those issues. So I was able to kind of regain a sense of worth, I through my faith and through just, you know, I did other jobs that were completely non-dance related. And then I slowly started dancing again, very cautiously, and realized I did still love it. So it was one of those things that just kind of over time I was able to heal and come back to it.
Well, as you mentioned, your faith did play a role in this. How strong was your faith before this, and how big a part did your being fired play in sort of gaining strength in your faith?
Well, you know, I had always believed in God, and it had always been a part of my life, but I very much, especially when I started dancing, I kind of put God on the shelf, and just a lot of other things took over the part of my life that had been sent to God, and so I when I came back to it, I was able to realize that I had in some ways kind of worshipped ballet, and I had put way too much value and importance in ballet. And so I needed to just reprioritize myself and figure out what was important and where I got my identity and where I got my worth. Having that grounding and also just being around people that, you know, from my church that loved me for who I was. They didn't care if I danced. They didn't care, you know, what I looked like. They loved me for who I was, and they were, they didn't mind that I had problems. I didn't have to be perfect with them. You know, it was just, it showed me that I had value separate from being a dancer, and that my value came from being a child of God.
And you have, you're married now with two children, a boy and a girl. Are you going to encourage any of them to get into show business or dance?
You know, that's been a debate for a long time. The thing is dance is a wonderful thing. I'm so happy and grateful that I have been able to be a dancer for a living. It's so special. And just having that feeling that coordination and that control over my body and feeling like I could do anything at a second's notice, you know, it's a wonderful feeling. So my daughter already, she loves to dance. I think every child does. Any child you see, when they hear music, they bop around. It's a natural reaction. So I certainly will put them into dance classes if they want it. I will be cautious about the career aspect of it. But, you know, like any parent, I want my kids to follow their dreams and to be happy.
Jennifer, great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Jennifer Ringer is a former New York City Ballet principal dancer and author of Dancing Through It, My Journey in the Ballet. She's giving a talk, Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh, this Thursday, February 27th at 7:30. And, of course, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org, if you forgot what I just said or if you want to find out more. Thank you for listening to our program. Stateofthings.org is the website. Laura Lee, Nicole Campbell, and Megan Modafferi are the producers. Robin Copley is our technical director, and Brent Wolf is our news director. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.